Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be with you this morning.
I love the organ. It was great, especially that last one, when you open it up. You know, there's that one pedal over there, when you push on it, it says great. But when you push the other one, it's really swell. But and if you know any, that's an organist joke, sorry. But it's such a pleasure to be with you this morning. When Tony called and asked, it was just my honor to be here with you today. I was in Santa Maria for 17 years. I'm still there. Tony spent all week in Tahoe. I spent all week in the bathroom because we are remodeling our master bath at home, so I've been setting tile and spreading drywall mud and all that kind of thing. So it's good to get back to my passion, and that's to be speaking God's word. This morning we're going to be looking at Ezekiel 37, very familiar passage. I just thought this graphic just spoke to church. It's so inspiring. But as we are looking at this, probably the most well-known passage from Ezekiel, or one of them anyway, the wheel within the wheel is the other one that people think of. But in this, we read the words today of this passage, and we think of the situations in life that look like there's no way God can do anything. I've been watching this story of the plane that went down all week on the news as they've been looking for this young man. And to hear that he's passed right now, his wife thinks nothing can be done. Nothing good can come out of this. All she's in right now is the midst of pain, the midst of trial, the questions of why, the questions of what is going to happen next. We all experience things like that in life. Whether it's grief or loss, or if it's a situation that you're encountering that just feels like, how can anything come out of this? Because we look at them through natural eyes rather than through the lens of faith. So as we look at this today, I want to let you know that God can do anything in any situation. If we stand on Him and listen to Him and speak words of life and speak the truth according to what God says, not according to what we see. Ezekiel 37, the first 14 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come on them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from the graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come before you now, and we read this passage, and sometimes, God, when we look at familiar passages, it's easy just to discount them. We've heard hundreds of sermons on them, it feels like sometimes. We've kind of made up our mind what you are saying to us. We get distracted because of its familiarity. But I pray, Lord God, that this morning you would speak. You know the needs of each person in this room. You know the condition of their hearts. You know exactly what needs to be spoken to them. Give them ears to hear you. Speak through me, Lord Jesus. My words are useless, not empowered by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Speak to us now. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the first thing I want to look at, my first major heading is, I'm calling it resignation, because natural reasoning causes resignation to fate. You know, we look at things as, well, it's just the way it is. And whether we come, you know, there's a lot of people that will say, well, it just wasn't meant to be. But they're not speaking from a good, solid, reformed theological background when they say that. It's just, oh, it's just, you know, que sera, sera. This, what will be, will be. But, you know, we find ourselves in a situation that would seem to indicate that the outcome is obvious. We find ourselves in spots where we think, well, this, how, what could come from this? It's all going to be, you know, most of the time when those things, it's our wonderful pessimistic nature that will tell us that, well, you know, it's neutral at best. Certainly, it's most likely to be really bad. You know, my wife tells me that sometimes I tend to be a glass half empty person. And she will remind me that no, that's not, it's not all going to fall apart. No, 50-50 isn't really 70-30 going the wrong way. It's you know, it's just we look at things through our natural eyes and we just assume the worst. This is what Ezekiel saw, an ancient battlefield. There are theologians disagree on what this was and what this place was, but the Lord took him there in the Spirit. He was giving him a vision of this. It's this ancient battlefield full of bleached bones of those who had been slain and just left in the open. He had to wonder what God was showing him in this vision, and then God asked the question, Son of man, can these bones live? And I have to commend Ezekiel here, because in great faith, he didn't spout an immediate, yes, he didn't spout an immediate, no, he went right to the Lord and said, Lord, you know. Talk about what sounds like deflecting the question. You know, if you're looking at it from a natural point of view, that's like the kid in geometry class that the teacher asks him a question and asks him what, you know, what was his answer to the problem or how do you get to this spot? And he says, oh, I have it, but I defer to you because I want you to be able to demonstrate to the rest of the class how to get to the answer here. And You know, that's what it kind of sounds like when he says, oh, Lord, you know. But really, this is great faith. Great faith on his part. He demonstrates this faith by not resigning himself to what looks obvious to the natural eye. His response was nothing like the way Israel responded to God. God had just delivered them. God had just set them free from bondage in Egypt, and they're on their way out, and they're camping alongside the Red Sea. It's not quite Tahoe, but you know, but they're out there in the desert, the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the Egyptians are coming. And here in Exodus 14, this is what Israel says. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. A faith-filled people. See, rather than give a foolish answer, Ezekiel yielded his natural reasoning to God to determine the outcome. God, it's in your hands. You know. He could have answered God's question probably the way I might have. As son of man, can these bones live? Nope, they're dead. Let's go someplace where there's somebody alive to hear what I have to say. But no, full of faith, oh Lord, you know. Why do we set aside the possibilities that God can do great things? Why do we not walk with our eyes full of faith to see what God might just do? See, we must not allow ourselves, or we must not allow natural reasoning to discourage us. We must not allow natural reasoning to be a discouragement. Because it would be so easy to let ourselves be discouraged. And it's a hard thing for us to do. We're trained to rely on what we see. We're supposed to assess the circumstances and base our thoughts and beliefs on what we can discern through natural eyes. Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And when we combine that with Jesus' words to the disciples, we ought to approach every situation with the anticipation that God just might do something miraculous. What did Jesus say? In Mark chapter 10, Jesus said this, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. God intervened in the world when he delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. God intervened in the world on behalf of Israel when he opened the Red Sea for them and to pass through on dry ground and then close it back onto the Egyptian armies and Pharaoh. God intervened in the lives of his people when he fed them with manna and quail and gave them water to drink from the rock that followed them, that followed them. You ever read that in Scripture? The rock followed them and gave them water. God intervened through Jesus when he healed the sick and opened blind eyes and raised the dead and delivered those who were demonized. And Jesus, by his own authority, rose from the dead so that we might live. God intervened through his church when they continued to do the works that Jesus did, and as he promised them, even greater works. Don't be discouraged by assuming the natural outcome. Trust in God's power. Trust in God's power. His power to deliver, his power to intervene, his power to heal, his power to restore, his power to renew, his power to move in your life. As Jesus said, to take that mountain and it be cast into the sea. God is the God of the impossible. God is the one who can do all things. So let's look at our next point, restoration. See, we don't want to just be resigned to things. We want to be restored. At least I do. I hope you do. God brings life by His Word. God brings life by His Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and breathes life into us. God's word to Ezekiel was, prophesy over these bones. In other words, speak life to what is dead. Let the word of God by the Spirit of God make alive not only that which is sick and that which is unaware, that which is unconscious, but that which is dead and dry and virtually dust. The disciples looked at Jesus' crucifixion as the end. It's done. They ran and hid. What are we going to do now? They locked themselves into rooms. They hid away, not taking into account that God could raise him from the dead. Natural reasoning tells us that speaking to what is dead is foolishness. And that is what the world sees when it observes people of faith. When I was a candidate for ordination many moons ago, and the church we were going to, I understand a lot of Navy flyers are part of this church. I went to seminary in Virginia Beach, so I'm very familiar with NAS Oceano and all the military that was there. But we had a church that was full of military people as well, and I'd go and sit in on session meetings just so I could have an idea of learning how to do things and maybe learning how not to do things. But I'd sit in there, and always the first report was always the budget report, and the treasurer, who wasn't a member of this, he was an elder, but he wasn't a member of the session, would come in and just tell them how awful things were and how far behind we were and how we'll never be able to facilitate ministry and how we'll never get this done. And, you know, they'd always do a budget and a faith budget, and they tend to function more in the faith budget, spending-wise and whatnot, and he would come in and just, you know, guys, we got to do something about this. This is just okay, you know. And they prayed, and he would leave, and they would go on with ministry because they knew God was going to provide. They knew God was going to make everything happen that needed to happen because He always provides what He calls us to do. God moves. See, when the world looks at you and sees you acting in faith, they think you're crazy. When you tithe, when you give into the Lord, when you bring into the storehouse that tithe, the world looks at you. I had a boss years ago before I went to seminary that couldn't figure out how anyone could afford to give 10% to church. And he says, and I suppose you're going to say you can't afford not to. And I said, that's exactly right. I can't afford not to. Stepping out in faith, believing what God has said is true. Listen to what Jesus says about this. John 6:63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The Spirit of God activates the Word of God, which brings life to what is dead through the gift of faith. Moses also spoke about the Word of God bringing life. Here in Deuteronomy 32, Moses said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to be your children, or command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. The Word of God is not an empty word, but it is our very lives. This is restoration made manifest in us as we turn to Jesus in faith and repentance. God restores you when He makes you new. God takes that which was dead and He makes it alive. You weren't sick in your trespasses and sins. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And God spoke the word that you might come to life. This is such an important thing for us to realize and know and transplant from our brains to our hearts. You say this 18 inches is the longest distance in the world. I was at a Promise Keepers conference years ago, and Jack Hayford was speaking, and he was talking about all the gold that we have in our minds. Followers of Jesus, we have so much gold in our minds. We hear the word. We get it implanted down deep. But what we need to do is ask the Spirit of God to focus, just like you used to do with a magnifying glass when you were a kid. Go out and burn holes in leaves and things like that. And hopefully not burn the house down. But, you know, focus that sunshine and on that gold. It'll melt the gold so it'll run down to our hearts. That it'll fill our hearts. When we're willing to act on faith by proclaiming truth through the Word of God, proclaiming it to others. See, somebody proclaimed the Word of truth to you. Many of you here, I'm sure, were raised in church. Many of you came up and your parents did devotions with you at home, or you learned it in Sunday school. Some of you may not have been raised in church. Some of you, this might be a whole new thing that happened to you later in life when you came to faith in Jesus. But somebody proclaimed God's word to you. Somebody said, "Live, bones." And you came to life. That's what overcomes the effects of sin, of apathy, of discouragement, of confusion, of worry, or whatever seems impossible. Last point, these bones can live. Don't you love when a preacher says this is the last point? At a meeting, and the preacher actually went on for 2 hours. My watch battery died yesterday, so I was, you know, close to that this morning. But I heard him say "in conclusion" 3 times, and something else would inspire him, and on he would go. But when things look impossible, when they look hopeless, remember that the Word of God brings life. If you're hopeless and downcast and you don't know what's going to happen and how things are going to come out, go to the Word and go to prayer. Seek God's face. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him encourage you. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him restore that which has been broken down. Just like when Israel went back and they saw the walls down, Nehemiah, years later, hears that the walls have never been rebuilt from that group that went several years before to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city, and his heart was broken. But he said, "I need to go back and restore. I need to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem." Speak to the dry bones that are scattered all around you. Proclaim the truth of the Word of God so that which is dead can be made alive. And if your situation seems to be beyond help, hold fast to what you know to be true by God's revelation, not what the enemy's deception and your natural eye is telling you. Stand on faith. Paul reminds and encourages us that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Let your spiritual eyes be informed by faith so that you might be able to see things the way God sees them. Then speak life to what appears to be dry bones. that what appears dead to the natural eye will be made alive by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Don't let the circumstances of life discourage you and overwhelm you, when the truth of the Word of God will encourage you to overcome circumstances. And then, as the Lord spoke to the prophet, he says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." What appears dead to you right now? What in your life appears to be falling apart, that it's dead? Speak the truth of the Word of God to it. Speak the Word of God over it and see if it will not come to life. I'm not talking about any wacky name it and claim it, or, as a friend of mine used to say, blab it and grab it stuff. We're talking about speaking the Word of God in faith and then saying, "Oh God, you know. Oh God, you know if this can live. You know if this can do. I'm going to stand on faith and speak this word until you tell me not to anymore. And until then, I will trust and believe and hope." Moms in the room, I always say there's nothing like mama's prayers. Moms, do you have children who aren't serving God? Have you just cast them aside? Say, "Well, that'll never happen." No, you pray, don't you? You pray and pray and pray until God would tell you not to pray anymore, just like you did with Jeremiah. And you never give up that God might not intervene. Stand in faith on what you know to be true by the word that God has spoken, and then watch to see what he might do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God of the living, not the God of the dead, that you take that which is dead and you make it alive, that you come to what looks impossible, and you do it. So we bless you, Lord Jesus. Help us to take the truth of your word, to speak that truth boldly, and to trust you with the outcome for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.